Be sleeping in here with us?
No.
Horn's gentle smile sent shivers up Ryan's spine.
The sisters wish the honor of fornication with the Dark Lord. He will sleep little, as the plow sleeps not in the furrow.
Oki sniffed and spat, then went to one of the low truckle beds and sat down. The priest watched her, and then moved to the door.
We shall see you all on the morrow. One of the sisters will bring in a bowl of punch for you to drink your fill. It will aid you at sleeping.
He left, the heavy door banging shut behind him.
That lucky son of a bitch hen, getting all that for free.
A great crock of drink was brought in and set on a table by one of the younger women. She was wrapped in black cloth from head to toe, and her face was veiled so that only her brown eyes shone from under the cowl. Finn tried to get her to talk, but she lowered her head and ignored him, leaving quickly.
Guess she can't wait to get back to her Dark Lord.
They tried the punch. Ryan wrinkled his mouth at the taste. It was flavored with herbs and obviously was strongly alcoholic. But as he rolled it cautiously around his mouth, he detected a strange, bitter aftertaste. He spat it out on the earthen floor.
Ah, fire blast, that's evil stuff.
JB put his mug down on the table.
I don't care for it either. Tastes like wolfbane.
Lori had taken more than a bit of it before her face showed her dislike.
Ugh, not like.
Seems drinkable, but bit of, yeah, not so good.
Oki, Christy, and Doc put down their beakers untasted. Ryan looked across at JB, biting his lip, knowing that the armorer shared his doubts. But neither of them said anything. After all their years together, they didn't need to. Ryan tipped the bowl in a dark corner of the room. The punch flowed into the dirt and left only a faint, damp patch. When Horn returned, he seemed pleased to find that the punch was gone.
I shall leave you now to sleep. Our celebrations begin at dawn. I doubt they will disturb you.
Toward midnight, Finnegan fell asleep. JB checked him, the light of the dying fire reflecting redly off his glasses.
Seems pretty much out. Can't wake him easily. Heart's all right. Breathing's deep but steady. Best take turns to watch him.
The hut shook as a momentary earthquake vibrated across the land. Tremors had become so common that nobody even noticed them. They quickly arranged a roster to sleep so that one of them would always be awake, checking that Finn wasn't ill. Ryan guessed Finn couldn't have drunk enough of the punch to do him any permanent harm, but the mere idea of it was enough to make them more cautious overall. Oki agreed to sleep across the doorway, and all of them kept their blasters ready and primed. JB suggested breaking out there and then, taking Hen with them, but Ryan was more patient.
The food was fine, and it doesn't seem dangerous here. Plus, we're warm. It might not have been a trank in the drink. Could be just strong liquor. Finn hasn't had any booze for weeks now. So, we'll watch him.
Ryan Carter and Christy Roth were now accepted by the others as a couple. They went together, drove together, and slept together. At one point, back in the redoubt, Oki had made a play for Ryan in front of Christy, putting her hand directly on the front of his trousers, smiling at his instant reaction, and glancing at Christy.
Looks like he's ready for a fucking change.
Ryan had tensed, ready to deck her with a roundhouse right, pulling himself away from her grasp. Christy moved toward Oki, smiling at her with even white teeth.
You ever try anything like that again, slut, and I'll put two holes through the back of your head.
Ryan had rarely heard such menace in a human voice. Oki backed off, her eyes flicking nervously from Christy to Ryan.
Hey, just a joke, Christy. Can't you take a fucking joke?
Do you see me laughing? Make sure, Oki, that you know the difference between a threat and a promise. Then you'll know what that was.
Oki never tried it again. Now Christy and Ryan were pressed together in a single bed, like spoons in a box. She faced away from him, her hair brushing against his chest. He almost immediately became aroused, but both of them were sleeping fully dressed, even down to their boots. But she could still feel his need for her.
It'll have to be a quickie, lover.
Better than nothing. Want a hand?
No. You handle your part and I'll do the rest.
While he unzipped his trousers, she wriggled out of hers, pulling them down to her knees. She kept her underwear on, but moved them to one side to accommodate him. He felt the warmth of her muscular buttocks cupping him, and he slid easily into her waiting depths. She moaned softly. He moved in faster and deeper, keeping the rhythm even so that she could share his pleasure.
Yes, lover. Keep it for... Oh, yeah, that's good. Hold me tight.
Ryan threw his head back, arching his spine so that he could thrust against her as hard as possible. He could feel her internal muscles fluttering and tightening as she reached her own driving climax. They slept until near dawn, when JB came and shook Ryan by the shoulder.
What?
It's close to first light, and it's your turn to go out. I haven't seen anything or heard anything yet.
Ryan swung out of bed, hastily doing up his trousers.
And one other thing, Ryan.
What's that, JB?
Sometime last night, they locked the door on us, bolted it on the outside. Oh, and Finn's out colder than an iced mutie. But I figure he's gonna pull through. His pulse is still regular and steady. I'll stay awake.
Ryan stood up and stretched like a great cat.
Go wake everyone else.
You got it.
Silently, they got ready, leaving their chubby companion snoring quietly on his bed, his mouth sagging open. As they checked their weapons, Ryan saw that Lori was looking terrified.
Don't worry, we're just taking care.
She nodded to him, her lips trembling. Attractive though her gear had been, Ryan had insisted that Lori change before they left the redoubt. The tall blonde now wore dark green combat coveralls, tucked into steel-capped boots of the type that Finnegan and Hennings wore. She'd kept her little pearl-handled Walther PPK 22 caliber pistol, and also the Heckler & Koch MP5 SD2 silenced submachine gun that she'd toted around the stockpile.
Already?
Christy's ear pressed against the locked door.
Someone's moving out there. Several people.
Ryan, who had known Christy long enough to trust her amazingly acute hearing, moved to stand by her and saw the dawn's faint light around the edges of the door. There was also a crack of light near the center panel, where the thick wood had split. He put his eye to the crack, but couldn't make out anything. Quietly, he drew his panga and probed at the gap with a long blade, widening the split a little. He squinted through it with his right eye.